A series on 2 Corinthians, and this morning we're going to be looking at chapter 1, just verses 1 to 11. The title of the message today is The God of All Comfort. Let's pick up in verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all the saints throughout the care, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death, but this happened, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope, that he will continue to deliver us. As you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. You know, Paul starts off his letter here, just as he does with all his 13 other letters in the New Testament. He gives greetings, and he mentions grace and peace. But here he says, you know, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. And it was needed, because, you know, the Corinthian church, as many of us have heard, they were having some issues, particularly towards their view of Paul. And there are people who are false teachers, and they were undermining his leadership and his authority. And he says, look, I'm an apostle, and it wasn't by my choice, or my will, it's by God's will. And he's writing to, not just to the church in Corinth, but it's also to all the Christians in that area of Achaia. But he says, praise be in verse 3 to the God and Father of Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. And you know, the next three verses, he mentions comfort some 9 times. You know, God is the God of comfort. Just as much as Satan is the father of lies, it says here that God is the Father of compassion. That God cares for people. That's just who he is. That's his nature. You know, compassion is one of those things which we all like to be on the receiving end of. You know, we appreciate it when people have compassion on us. We appreciate it when we've messed up, when we've sinned, when we've fallen short. We appreciate the fact that God has compassion. You know, there's that passage in when Jesus heals the leper. And he goes out and he says to Jesus, if you will, you can make me clean. And the Bible says that Jesus had compassion on him. And he reached out and he touched him. And he says, be clean. And just Jesus' heart goes out to him. I love it when I know that people have compassion on me. You know, the Bible says that God, he's a God of compassion. He's the Father of all, God of all comfort. In verse 2, he talks about grace and peace. You know, grace is the when God doesn't treat us the way we deserve. Grace is when God gives us things that we don't deserve. God gives us a second chance. God gives us new hope. We don't deserve it. Mercy is when God doesn't give us things that we do deserve. Mercy is when we know that we deserve punishment. We deserve all kinds of retribution, and yet God takes mercy on us. But see, that's the way God is. He is the God of all comfort. He loves us. He cares for us. He knows what's best for us. He wants the best for us. He says in verse 4 that he comforts us in all our troubles. You know, none of us need to know or hear the fact that life can be challenging. Because at some point in our lives, we all go through challenges. And we all go through different struggles at various times. But you know what the Bible tells us is that God, because he's a God of comfort, he has the ability, he has the resources to help us in our times of need. And not only does he have the resources, but he provides us with everything that we need in order to be able to overcome those difficult times. The whole idea of comfort is very appealing. But when the Bible says that God is a God of comfort and he comforts us in all our troubles, he's not saying he provides us with a comfortable life. We just need to look at the scriptures and look at the followers of Christ, and we see they had a far from a comfortable life. In fact, to live as a Christian means that we actually have to be willing to give up a comfortable life, because we're going to be facing challenges. But being comforted means that when we go through the challenges, God provides us with everything we need to sustain us. And how does he do that? Well, he says there in verse 4 that God comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. You know, Paul talks about how God comforts us so that we can comfort others. And that's usually the way that God works. The way that we receive comfort ourselves is through God working through other people to provide us with comfort. You know, that can only happen if we know the challenges that we're going through. If other people know the challenges we're going through. That's why we're called the body of Christ. Because there has to be that kind of close relationship so that we know what is going on in each other's lives. So that there's an involvement in each other's lives. You know, a number of people have come up to me just asking recently, hey, how's your health? How are you doing? And usually I'll say I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay, not so bad, or I'm up and down, or something along those lines. I've tried to become a little bit more expressive about where I'm really at. Because so oftentimes when we go through struggles, we don't necessarily want everyone to know, oh, we're going through struggles. Sometimes we just want to just get on with it. You know, we want to have the mentality of it's the stiff upper lip and let's just grin and bear it. And yet, unless we're open, people can't really provide the support that they would like to be able to provide. There's that James Taylor song where he talks about, no one can meet those needs if we don't let it show. It's this whole idea, we just got to be open. You know, for me recently, some of you will know, I've been going through some health challenges. And I went to the doctors a few weeks back and they've identified what they think is the condition that I'm suffering with, and it's something called MDDS. MDDS, Milder Development Syndrome. It sounds like a bit of a made-up disease, but apparently it's true, and you can go ahead and look it up on the internet, and it's a kind of embarrassing kind of illness, because it affects very few people. And number two, it affects mainly older women. But it's a condition that is sometimes compared to something called land sickness. It's something that happens when if you read it up, as I was reading up all the symptoms, I thought, oh gosh, this is me. If you've been on a cruise, what happens is, you can get back off a cruise and you get back onto solid ground and your body doesn't quite reset its calibration. So it feels like you're still on a ship. So what can happen is it can feel like, even though you're on solid ground, you feel like you're rocking backwards and forwards. This can cause nausea, it can cause migraines. It's essentially, it's just a very bad case of seasickness, except you're on land. And it's ongoing. And for some people, it's a permanent condition. As in, they go on one cruise, and then for the rest of their life, they have to suffer seasickness on land. And there is no known treatment. But for others, it can pass after a period of weeks or months. And there's no test either. The only way you can find out if you're going to suffer with this is go on a cruise, come back and see how you feel. Well, last year, Julie and I, we went on a cruise last January, and then we came back, and it was a great time, it was fantastic, but after a while I started to feel really queasy and sick, and then I started suffering migraines for the first time in my life. And that went on for a period of about 4 months. And eventually it died away, but during that 4 month period, you know, it's a very disconcerting thing to feel sick and you don't know what the cause of the sickness is. And, you know, back then I went to the doctors and they referred me to this consultant and the various specialists and went to the various hospitals. I had an MRI scan done, I had CAT scans, I had blood tests, EEGs, ECGs, I had the whole lot, everything. And at the end of it all, they said, you just got suffering with migraines, mate. That's all it is. And no one really knew why. And so they were trying one medication after another. And the problem with trying lots of different medications is that sometimes the side effects of the drugs are worse than the actual illness itself. And I was reading through an entry in my in a journal I wrote last year where I was taken to hospital. Back in April of last year, I was taken to hospital suffering with heart issues. I'll read you a little bit of what I wrote. Sunday night, unable to sleep due to migraine medication. 3:30 in the morning, sudden onset of acute chest pain. Initially thought it was some form of indigestion, but the pain began to escalate and I thought maybe it's a possible heart issue. And because of my medical background, I thought, well, this is you don't want to take chances if you've got chest pains. And so anyway, I was torn. It's like I was torn between making a fuss over nothing and not making the fuss and paying the price. And so around about 4:15, I rang 999, the ambulance came around and they picked me up and they had their portable ECG machine and they realized that my heart had slowed down, I was suffering from bradycardia and it was causing some kind of chest pains, and so they rushed me off in the ambulance to the hospital eventually I was fine, but at that point I thought, man, I'm gonna die. And the only thing I could think of at that point was if I'm gonna leave this world, I want to leave sharing my faith. And I was trying to share my faith with the guy in the ambulance. But you know, that was last year. This year, we went on a family cruise in August. I didn't know, because we didn't put two and two together. And so it's only this year, coming back, that I started to suffer the same symptoms. Migraines, dizziness, loss of balance, nausea. And so, you know, it's interesting because I've been coming to church you come to church and you want to be giving. But people come up to me and say, you don't look too well. I'm like, really? And it's funny because I remember as a kid, whenever I went to visit my mum at home, she would always look at me and she'd say, you're not well. And I'd say, how do you know? So I could see it in your eyes, I could see it. And you know, mums, they know these things. Well, this is a measure of how close we are in church. Because people who know you well, they'll look at you and think, there's something not quite right here. I said to Ferdy this morning, I said, how are you eating well, Ferdy? And he said, why? I said, well, you're looking particularly slim. Ferdy's been fasting, but it's funny how you can notice just little things, just like, you know, you pick up. And for me, sometimes it's been, I've been a little bit green or around the gills, and you look around and think, well, there's something not quite right. But for the most part, but at least I know now what it is. It was all caused by just this MDDS, and so I understand. The reason I'm sharing this with you is because, for me personally, my tendency is to just minimize everything, and just to get on with life. But the problem is, how does that help us be able to express and share the comfort that God wants us to give to one another? Secondly, though, it's a real challenge for Julie because she's one who has to bear the brunt of me being sick most of the time. And as a result, if I'm not letting people know I'm not feeling well, she doesn't get comforted either or supported either. And so I think it's just, in general, in order for us to receive comfort, people need to know what we're going through. There's got to be that openness there. You know, it's kind of, Wednesday night, I was just walking up the stairs, and I had a momentary loss of balance, and I fell and I hit my head. And this is in the middle of the night, because I've not been able to sleep properly, and I've not been able to have a regular sleep pattern. So I've been up at all kind of strange hours. And so I was walking up the stairs, lost my balance, hit my head, and at that point I wanted to go like, ah! But everyone's asleep. So I went, it's kind of weird, even walking into a fellowship, just, you know, you trip over some imaginary something, and or you're lost someone, people look at you, and I've been walking around, even, I've been hardly out at all this week, in fact, last 2 weeks, I've been hardly been out of that house, but times when I have been out of the house, I've been stumbling around, and I've been concerned that people might look at me as if I'm drunk, and I've been thinking, how can I share my faith when people think I'm on medication or something? I don't know what it is. But you know, what Paul says here is that, you know, we receive comfort in order that we can comfort others. But in order to receive comfort, we have to go through sufferings. And in verse 5, he says, "So just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also Christ, through our comfort, overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer." You know, the fact is, every single one of us, we all go through different challenges. And whether it's a physical health issue, or whether it's you're facing a difficult relationship at work, I read an estimate this last week, that at some point, 90% of the workforce has to deal with a difficult boss at one time or another. Is that true? We all have difficulties in our lives, whether it's a difficult boss, whether it's a difficult relationship at work, whether it's a difficult teacher if you're at school, or whether it's a difficult parent if you're a teen. Or if you're a parent, whether it's a difficult child, or a difficult spouse. Don't react. We all have difficulties in our lives. We all have challenges. But one of the things he says here is that it's the sufferings that produce patient endurance. You know, the reality is, we all want to learn to be patient. We all want to learn to be Christ-like. But God uses our suffering to produce those in our lives, to produce patience, to produce a Christ-likeness, if we allow ourselves to be trained by those difficult times. But we can't have endurance without suffering. You know, for some of us, the difficulty is persistent sin. Maybe it's a habit we can't break. Maybe it's we feel isolated because we feel like, gosh, I'm a sinner and no one can relate to what I'm going through. You know what's interesting? Is that we're all the same. We all go through different challenges, and some people we're more like than others. But generally, if we have a struggle in our lives, someone else will have been there before us. Someone else will have gone through that same struggle. And the more open we can be, the more we realize we are not alone. And the more, then, opportunity we have to be able to support one another. You know, none of us likes to be weak or to feel weak. But the reality is this, you know, in 1 Corinthians, where he talks about the body of Christ, he says that that there are some who come across as being strong, there are some who are weak, but everyone is needed. Which means that in the body, we need people who are weak, because if we don't have the weak people, how can we then express the love of Christ? How can we share God's comfort with one another if there is no one to share it with? We've just got to be open. And when we are strong, we can help those who are weak, and then in turn, when we are weak, we can receive that help and the comfort from others. But it's all about this give and take. And it's a free flow of God's love between the members of his body. And that's a good thing. Because when people come to church and they see that kind of love for one another, that's what then helps them to see we are the body of Christ. I love the fact that in church, we see this so often, just people's love for each other. When people are struggling, you know, I heard of Olive. She was cooking some food for, I think it was Yolanda's mum, Auntie Norma, who was sick recently. And just people just cooking meals for each other. When I was sick and Rashida Kate brought some food round for me last year, and gosh, it's not like we didn't have food in our cupboards, but it's the fact that someone's taking the time to cook for you. It's just an expression of love. And I'm not saying that because I want someone to bring some food around either. But it's just the fact that we can express love to one another, and we can care for one another, and just by being open about our struggles, we provide opportunities for others to be able to express the love of God. He says in verse 7, our hope for you is firm because we know that just as you share in our suffering, so also you share in our comfort. You know, in verse 8, he says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. You know what's amazing? If this is the Apostle Paul, and he's saying, I just want to be open with you. I don't want you to be uninformed. We went through some challenging times. Some really hard times, even to the point where he says that we despaired even of life. Now here's the amazing Apostle Paul, who ended up writing over half the New Testament, who planted all these different churches all around, just not just that area, but even as far as Europe. I mean, here he is, and he's saying, oh, gosh, I despaired even of life. In fact, he said in verse 9, I felt the sentence of death. And he's just been very vulnerable and very open. You know, the fact is, I appreciate that when you read the Bible, you see even the heroes in the faith, you see that they have their own frailties and their own weaknesses. And they're very open about that. You know, we need to be that way. Sometimes we like to have it, you know, feel like we've got it all together. But the reality is, none of us have it all together. And even when we think we've got it all together, we don't have it all together. You know, just before we went away on a holiday this year, I was feeling great. My health was going well. I was able to go to the gym, work out, getting fit, getting in shape. I was feeling good, and I felt like, wow, I've got it all in the bag. And then the bag burst. And then you realize, oh man, I just don't have it together. But there's a reason for that. Why? Because he says here in verse 9, he says, this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. You know, God allows us to go through our struggles, and he allows us to go through challenges to help us to become more Christ-like, to teach us patience and endurance, but also so that we can rely not on ourselves, but on him. Because if we had it all together, and if life was suddenly, you know, we'd got it all figured out, gosh, the temptation to be self-reliant would be immense. And sometimes we look at our lives and we think, wouldn't it be nice just to be able to be comfortable, to have, you know, a really decent income, to be able to have all the bills paid for, to be have no struggles or no worries. I don't think that would be nice at all. I think you would very quickly become bored. The fact is, we need challenge. And one of the reasons we need challenge is to help us understand we can't do it on our own. It forces us to rely on God.
Well, that's good, because God is the God of all comfort. And he wants to comfort us. He's the God of all compassion. You know, he says in verse 10, he has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope. You know, where is your hope? What do you set your hope on? You know, do you set your hope on some kind of, on some future career or some job or attaining certain grades or qualifications, or do you set your hope on a person? Or, you know, our hope needs to be on God and in God alone. It doesn't need to be in ourselves. It doesn't need to be in our own accomplishments or our own achievements. But our hope needs to be totally dependent on God. You know, if we rely on God, then our hope is secure. And we won't fail. He says in verse 11, he says, as you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. You know, the bottom line is, one thing we can all do for each other is pray. We need God. We need people praying for us. I need people praying for me. And the great thing about where I'm at right now is the fact that whatever it is that I'm going through, I know, amen, this too will pass. And I'm encouraged by that. And also I'm encouraged by the fact that at least I know what I'm going through and the reason for it. You know, sometimes we go through struggles and we don't know why we're going through struggles. And that can be very discouraging. And it can be very just demoralizing. You know, it's at that point that we just need to turn to God. And we just need to put our hope in God and say, you know what, God, I may not know, but you know. And I may not be able to cope, but you can help me through. And as we do that, then what happens is, our convictions are strengthened. Because as we go through challenges, and we will go through challenges, the more challenges we go through, the more we'll eventually realize God brings us through each and every time. And because God has brought us through once, it gives us confidence and conviction he'll bring us through again and again. The more difficulties and challenges we face in life, the more opportunities we have to be strengthened in our faith. And so far from it being a negative thing, it can actually be something that's positive. You know, this month, we're having a particular focus as we go through the book of 2 Corinthians, but also we have a focus on, we just really want to have an opportunity to really reach out and share our faith and share God's love with other people. Just as we've all been comforted, there's a whole lost world who is in desperate need of God's comfort in their life. Particularly because most of them don't even realize their need. And the only way they're going to receive God's love is through us, through God's people. And we need to make the most of this opportunity just to be able to share our faith, to reach out and share God's love. Not just to invite people to church, but to really to demonstrate God's love to other people. I want to ask us this morning to make a decision. Perhaps for you, it's going to be a decision to look beyond your suffering to the God who provides the comfort you need. Perhaps it's going to be to decide to trust God that your suffering has a purpose and that his comfort will be adequate so that you can not only survive but also to thrive. Perhaps you need to make a decision to be honest. To be honest that if you're where you're really at, whether you're actually coping or not. Because God's help is available, but only to those who are really open to receiving that help. Perhaps you need to decide to turn to God for deliverance. For his deliverance is called repentance. Maybe that's a decision you need to make. Or perhaps you need to decide to work with another Christian or Christians on some kind of spiritual project. Or whatever it is. I want to call us to make a decision. That we're going to look to the God of all comfort. Why? Because God knows what's best. And he wants to bless us. And he wants to use the challenges we go through so that we can then provide comfort for other people. You know, there's a story of a little boy who wanted to get a dog. And he was desperate to have a pet. And his parents took him along to this farm where they had some puppies. And they asked him to choose. And he was looking at all the different puppies that were there available to choose. And eventually he said, this is the one I want. And the owner was like, why do you want that one? This one is, it's the runt of the litter. Not only that, it's got a slight deformity. It can't run like the other dogs. It has problems. Why don't you choose one of these healthy ones? And the boy said, no, I want to have this one. Because I know he's going to need someone who understands him. And he's going to be able to help comfort him. And as the owner looked up, he realized that the little boy was in leg braces. And was himself suffering with some kind of deformity. But you know, as we go through our challenges in life, it's so that then we are able to provide the comfort for others as they go through theirs. Amen.
I really appreciate Mike coming this morning in his ill health. Funny, when Mike was saying, could you imagine a life with the salary you could choose? No stress. All the sisters over there were saying, Yeah, I can imagine life that way. Try me. Take God's word, really. Even if that was given to you. I know you're still doubting. If God were to give you all those things, there would still be troubles and there'd still be challenges. And the great thing about what we've learned this morning and my encouragement to all of us, as I was listening and hearing some of these things, I think for me probably is the being open. So that other people are aware of my struggles. I was thinking about praying, in the Bible, Mike was sharing about praying for one another. I don't know if you've ever prayed this prayer, dear God, I pray for Charles, help him, amen. Help him what? I mean, what kind of prayer is that? You don't even know what you're praying about. I can think of many reasons to pray for Charles, amen. Poor Charles. But really, to know what we're going through, the issues, those of us who are parents, health issues, family, even maybe not being able to share our faith or feeling ashamed or unable to do things or maybe some sin, as Mike shared, maybe some personal sin issues where we have brought the trouble upon ourselves. And you know, God is still gracious. I've brought trouble upon myself. We've brought trouble. We've sinned and caused situations. We haven't said things we need to have said. We haven't done things we need to have done. And it comes back on us and we say, oh man, if only I'd done that. If only this. And now I'm in this mess. And God is still a God of compassion and grace. But if we're open, we talk about things, pray for one another. If we're open about our troubles and see how powerful God is. And seeing how big God is as well. Will really help us to overcome and be the people He wants us to be. So thank you, Mike, for that, in your ill health. Thank you very much. Let's all stand. We'll sing a final song. Lo, what a glorious sight appears.
Lo, what a glorious sight appears.